HBO chick giving us the five. Here, I'll let you guys listen to this. I don't know if you can hear
your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Kufar Akbar, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Cross and the Crescent discussion group. We are a blog talk radio show that, what do we do here? I had this on the tip of my tongue and I say it every single week. We do something about differentiating the truth between Christianity and Islam, and we do that here every week. I don't know why that didn't flow today. Maybe I need to practice it a couple more years. Uh-oh, I got the look from the queen. It's like, woohoo. Oh, well. Okay, we are here every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we are also here every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, I'm just going to tell you guys right now, I am not right today. I have not been right all day. I was out late last night. And
oh yeah, you were rocking and rolling.
No, we don't.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
I was just out late last night, and I tell you what, my head hurts, and I just had a rough day, and I took a nap, an hour nap. I got up at like 4:15 this afternoon. I just laid out, and so tonight might be a little, obviously it already is a little rough around the edges, and that's okay. We don't get paid, snap, gob, oodle buckets of money for this, unless it's on an odd month and the Jews leave their bucket right out here on the front porch of the Caffer House. I've actually had people accuse me of taking money from Jews for doing this. That's why I say that. It's supposed to be a joke. So don't be writing home, oh, he takes money from the Jews. That's an evil kaffir. No, I don't. That's a joke. Okay, so what are we talking about today? Today we're going to be discussing Mecca once again. I think it's necessary to keep hammering this topic home, because it's a pillar of Islam. I mean, if you take away the historicity of an ideology and show that it has no history whatsoever, people are going to lose confidence in it and they're going to lose faith in it, because it turns out that it's nothing but this just made up story. And that's exactly what we get with Mecca. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through this Mecca thing here again, just so we remember what we were talking about before. But there's a couple items that I wanted to touch on before we go any further. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for being all hands on deck on Sunday. That was, what are we doing there, Paul? You got a bag of potato chips in your pocket, or what?
I trying to get the medicine out of.
Sorry.
That's what I was. I just got back from. Sorry.
It sounds like a bag of Ruffles or something.
Oh, I wish
that's
it
what
was.
That's what it sounds like with me because I have potato chips all over the place all the Indian all the time.
Oh, I wish it was. I just had to go get some meds.
Well, okay. So I was saying on Sunday when the channel went down, everybody stayed on. They jumped over to the Facebook. Over to the Facebook page, we had over 52 people listening at one time. And I've never had that many people actively listening at one time on any one given show. And I thought that was pretty amazing. And I know it wasn't me, and I know it wasn't, well, many of us here.
It was a combination. I think it's the panel and the guest. And remember, that doesn't necessarily add in your Facebook viewers. And it seemed like many of the 52 went straight to FB, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, and they didn't have a problem doing it too. It was just like a seamless transition. So I appreciate everybody doing that. Of course, if you didn't go in and look, obviously the channel's been put back up. But the channel, it took me about 10 minutes to do the appeal and about 45 minutes for them to act on it, put the channel back up. You can see how bogus whatever the complaint was. It was just absolutely ridiculous. And I this is where I was when we look at what David Wood has done with his YouTube channel and why he did what he did with his YouTube channel. That's exactly why, because you have troll scumbags out there that'll do anything to and it's like it's childish is what it really is. It is really childish. If we
either a low cognitive ability or a low mental capacity to understand that what they're doing is wrong.
Well, I don't know. Do you think that they actually believe that what they're doing is wrong?
I didn't say they did. I said low mental capacity.
Oh, okay. You qualified. That's right. Okay. You qualified it. Because if you look at, remember what Beholder Guard did to Kenny's channel? I mean, he filed all of these, and they were bogus copyright complaints.
Yeah, that was really sad. Yeah,
it was. And
well,
you know,
this is where, you know, turnabout is fair play. And I'm not saying it's the right thing to do the opposite, but I'm saying that, you know, it's no surprise if those who do these things get their just rewards. I mean, by others, I mean, who would do these things. I'm not that evil. Not that.
Well, it goes
against my personal belief structure, but I have no problem with having someone taken down because they put up false and misleading information, because that's one of the terms of service of YouTube. You cannot put up false or misleading information. And that is what Charles does. And he violates terms of service. Google has been informed of it, and yet they do nothing.
Did you listen to the celebration video he made about it?
No. Oh, that's probably the dumbest thing he did.
I'm not gonna link it, but he posted it like a half hour after the show or a half hour after it happened. It wasn't very long.
Oh,
and he said something to the fact that I'm so happy right now that the cross and the cross, and then he plays Taps, you know, as a eulogy for the
military Taps.
Yeah, military Taps.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what you would expect a child to do. And
I'm surprised he knows what Taps is about.
Well, he says he was a Marine. So
Okay, habit. Then it would be from habit. Okay, learn behaviors.
Yeah, and then also you get an email from the imam. What did he say? I'm gonna read this because this really.
Oh,
it was.
I have to say,
funny.
Rad was on his channel, and he took over.
Well,
he was gracious, and then when Kenny came back, he was gracious too.
Job. I was highly impressed. In fact, I watched that almost the entire show, and it was highly impressive. Rad did an outstanding job.
Well, I still say that he was. Kiss tonguing Kenny for a while, but you know, oh well, I still have to walk in love about that too.
You know what? We might have a Republican in the making, thanks to Red.
Well, they really need to start voting. I mean, you know, voting Republican, because if
I was,
not,
I was evangelizing for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So
you're a deep tonguing man.
No. I think that's, you know, I think Rad
Yes.
We should at least acknowledge where we stand together. And you know, I'm not saying
I stand to walk in love, but he was still deep throating that guy, man.
Fascinating. Sorry, I was impressed. I was impressed. You were kinder than I am.
What did he say? Gosh, I'm trying to find this.
He sent you a, I think it was a smiley face or something, if I remember right.
But big old said, laughing face.
A laughing face or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't bother. I mean, he said this is just the beginning. We know you are still teaching.
Yeah, I remember
this goes in phases.
That.
And I replied, if this is a phase. Let's see. You must be a genius for telling me that.
The imam said that? This goes in phases? Oh, jeez.
That's, well, I thought he said that. I must, let's see.
Yeah, I remember quoting that to me, so I was waiting to, I wasn't sure how that would end up. And it almost implies he worked together with someone else, but I think that was the purpose, was to imply rather than say. And I don't think he did take part in that.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, he's he's listening. I mean,
oh yeah.
I mean, he puts it up that quick.
Well,
we're listening
again, I'm
too.
Still shocked that he actually addressed something and stayed on task and showed some evidence of actually having done some research, which was an utter shock to me. But then he read a lot of his research out loud from a book, which, if it was his, I would question. If it was his writings, I would actually question that. But yeah.
Well, I didn't get a chance to listen in last night. What you guys were talking about? I saw it was dealt with.
It had to do with
transgendering and
transgender is basically in the girls' bathroom. There was a, what Rad didn't bring up was the transgender 80-year-old woman who caught a transvestite in a woman's bathing suit watching little girls get undressed.
What, in a like a pool or something?
In a YMCA. And they actually banned the 80-year-old woman for kicking the guy out.
No.
She's actually banned from coming back.
You would think it would be the opposite. And where's their mom at that time?
Well, my
where
best,
the little girls are changing.
With that is,
well, I tell you where the mom is. I out in the parking lot getting the 9 out of the glove box.
Well, you know, I have my biggest issue is what I saw proposed in the articles that I saw with this is that there is no statement saying, at the girls' bathroom, males may appear in the bathroom or in the locker room. Nude. Males may share your bathroom.
Do you think there should be a PSA at the pool or something?
I think there should definitely be a PSA at the door.
Signage. Yeah.
The opposite sex may appear naked in your locker room.
Right.
Well, they need to put that on the front door.
I think that's why
don't they just make trans bathrooms then?
What was that movie?
Well, they did. They had, you know, and what they were doing, and this is the thing to remember. At one point, they had a gender neutral or a bathroom where, let's say, a father or a mother could take a child, and it was usually a separate one bathroom by itself, and that could have been that would be the acceptable one to use. It wasn't labeled trans. It was just a single bathroom by itself, separate from them. I mean, that's, they want a place where trans can go and it doesn't belong in the wrong biological room. It belongs by itself, if that's what it comes down to.
I agree. You're exactly right.
Bathroom, that's fine.
I agree with that 100%. If you want to compete in sports, male, female, and then have a third category of trans and see how many people compete in that one. And if you're the only runner, look at the benefits. You're going to win a gold medal every time. Or if you're, you could be
but there's nobody to compete against most times.
Well, that's okay. You're still getting the gold medal. Nobody cares if nobody got a silver or bronze or 10th place. All you know is you got the medal, buddy.
They get the
participation. Well, you have to have a competition to compete with, because I was in swimming. I actually, when I was in, what grade was I in? 9th grade, Dartmouth College was offering me a scholarship. I'm glad I never took it. But yeah, I was. My first swimming year in Oklahoma, I took all city, all conference. Then I went to state. Yeah.
Well, okay. If you would have gone to Oklahoma and you were told that you were going to be on the swimming team and you were the only one that was in your category that was going to swim, let's say the 400 medley, and none of the other teams that you guys competed against had anybody compete against you, would you swim?
No, they have to have somebody compete with you.
No, that's the thing.
That's not how it works, Eric.
I know how it works. I'm just saying, Connie, if they make this category male and all of the different events that go on there, 50 free, 100 back, whatever, all those, that's fine. Female and all those other events that go on there, 50 free, 100 medal, or 400 medley or whatever they do.
Uh-huh.
And then transitioning people, 50 free, 400 medley,
mm-hmm.
500 back, whatever the distances are,
mm-hmm.
nobody's going to want to compete. And that's why that needs to be done. Nobody's going to want to compete against themselves. And this is, it would expose
how
fraudulent these men are. Going in and trying to take over these women's events.
No, the only purpose to say I'm a loser and I can't compete against people of my own gender.
Well, that guy that won all those women events, the guy he's a great swimmer. I'm not trying to disparage.
Well, he's like 400th out of
in a country our size, that's still pretty doggone good. I mean, if you're 400th in a country, I don't care. You're still a great swimmer. But he wanted, this is the selfish part of him, he wanted a way in which he could be the champion. So what does he do? All 6'4" of him says, I'm a girl now, and then slips on all this stuff and then takes a bunch of pills. And the next thing you know, he's a girl in a man's body competing against girls. You want to compete? If you want to do that and you have those type of desires, those type of frustrations, no problem. We have a special category for you. We're not going to discriminate against you, but you're not a biological girl. You're not a biological man. And that's the bottom line. Every single cell in your body is a male cell. It has an X and a Y, Z chromosome. If you're a female, you have, what is it? Two Y. I can't even remember how that goes, but you either have two Ys or one X. It doesn't matter. But every single cell in your body has those identifying you as a male or a female. And there's not a thing that you can do it. There's no amount of pills that you can take. There's no amount of hatchet jobs you can do to your body to remove things or install things. I don't know, to make you any different. And so if you're going to compete and you feel that way, that's great. Here's your category. Here's your sign. I'm sorry. I just, the whole thing. And I don't want to say I agree with Kenny on this because I don't really necessarily know what his position is on all of this.
He, what was shocking to me is he was not taking a Sharia stance.
What do you mean? He wasn't
taking right. Not at all.
He didn't take anything close to an Islamic Sharia stance. He said, look, it's just wrong. Doesn't mean we have to say anything nasty to them. It just means you need to be someplace else. And, again, he was as non-confrontational on this issue as possible, as PC as possible, which again goes against all Islamic teachings, And this is why I see where people are calling his form of Islam a, I don't like the term moderate, but and a fanciful form of Islam. And it was just, he was so kind and polite in respect that he was just simply saying, you know, we don't have to accept this. It does, I mean, but we don't have to be rude at the same time, which would kind of shock me.
And I agree with that. I actually agree with that. You don't have to be rude about it, saying, "Look, I think what you're doing is disgusting, and I think that what you're doing is perverted." You don't have to do that. You said just, you know, if you want to self-identify as a girl, go on ahead, put a dress on, put a wig, or don't wear a wig or whatever you want to do. Put, I don't care, but don't tell me that I have to believe that you're a woman just because you dress up like one. Don't tell me that I have to celebrate this lifestyle because I personally don't agree with it. And for you to demand that I celebrate yours is an insult to me. You don't have a problem. You don't seem to be having a problem insulting me.
Right.
When you say that I don't agree completely, you want to feign some type of insult. That's absolutely wrong.
Here's what I'm going to tell everybody listening who's on the job and any job. When you are informed by your employer that you must say a correct pronoun to somebody, you have to do what I did with my employer. When I was told that, I said, "Are you ordering me to lie?" I got silence for a few seconds. She had to think about it. No one else asked her that question, because if she's ordering me to lie, I want it in writing. You know, I want it in writing. Then I'll comply. You are ordering me to lie. So when the day I get in trouble for lying, here it is. I'm sorry. I will not lie. That's part of why you hired me.
Okay. Here we, of course, we get a correct answer on what I was trying to express. An X carrying sperm produces a female XX embryo, and a Y carrying sperm produces a male embryo, hence the chromosomal. Sex of the embryo is determined at fertilization. Thank you.
Exactly correct.
Thank you for extricating from me from my scientific misery in classification of that. Taxonomy.
This is insanity when they say they can't define it. Any high school child who took high school biology can tell you this. And that's the thing that bothers me the most about the, I can't define it. I mean,
and she's a Supreme Court justice today. Yeah. I don't know what she is. I'm not a scientist. Right. Yeah. You're a bozo then if you can't tell me what the difference between a man and a woman. This is a great comment here. What the motivations why people do this, and this is absolutely right. It's a sexual perversion for men and for women. Well, I'm not a woman, so I wouldn't know. But I could see how it would be a sexual perversion for men to do something like that.
And do you know how many seconds that that transgender won by in that race?
Oh, it was one of them was like a minute.
Seconds.
Yeah. Look at,
that's
are you
a lot
me?
In swimming. Yes, that is that right there should tell. You know, all those people that, something's wrong here.
It shows the difference. There is a difference between male and female as far as athletic ability. And when we're measuring the best against the best, there is a definite difference. Females have their bodies in a certain way and males have their bodies in a separate way. And that's the way God designed it. It doesn't mean we can't compete against each other in some things. But it does say something about, when you're going all out in a particular sport, that there should be different.
I'm gonna make a perfect illustration here. Sharon, are you listening? Or do you have the ability to sprecken, express yourself? I'm gonna draw on her Marine Corps. Okay, Sharon, were you required as a female in the Marine Corps to do as many push-ups for a minimum score on a physical fitness test as men?
We had to do 50 in a minute.
How many did men have to do?
And I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't remember how many the men had to do.
Was it more, though?
They probably had more. We had to hang for I think it was 60 seconds. But oh the God. Men had to pull up.
There's, all right. There's, okay. Okay. This is, when we, okay. Can I ask how long ago you got out? Because they've changed the physical fitness test almost completely since I retired.
Oh, you know something? They changed it actually when I was in. That I got out was the year that they changed it. But I don't know if they changed the physical aspects, like the PFTs is what they called it, physical training
test. Yeah, the APFT, Army Physical Fitness Test. We had to, as a male, in order to, the minimum amount of push-ups that you had to do was like 40, 45 in 2 minutes. A female only had to do like 20. And here's the reason. It's not because women are sissies and they can't. It's because they do not have as much upper body strength. I mean, it's just a natural. It's a physical fact. And the same thing is where it's close is on sit-ups, because women have a lower center of gravity and therefore they're able to do just about as many sit-ups, if not more sit-ups.
We didn't have to do push-ups.
Oh wow.
Well, we did. We did them all the time. I mean,
we had three things to do. We had
push-ups. Yeah.
We had what they called the hang.
Right. I've seen that they have that in the Army now too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then the run, we had to do a mile and a half in less than, I think it was 3 minutes, or excuse me, 15 minutes less.
Right.
Mile and a half in less than 15 minutes. And the quicker, it depends on how quick you did it in that 15 minutes when you got first, second, or third class. And, you know about the scoring.
Right. Yeah. You would have a three-event physical fitness test, push-up, sit-ups, two-mile run. And you would be awarded up to 100 points per event. So if you're a man, and it also goes by age, too. So if, like, when I first went in order to do max, get a 100 on my pushups, I'd have to do like 90 pushups or 85 pushups. Yeah. And then by the time I retired, it was down to like 70 or so. And the same thing with sit-ups. And then the 2 mile run, when I first went in, I was always a good runner. When I graduated from MP school, my 2 mile run was 10 minutes and 45 seconds. I could fly.
Oh, wow. That's
and then when wild. I, and then when I retired, well, the time I retired, I was like up to 16 minutes and I was smoking cigarettes. Let's go for a ride, you know? the point I'm trying to make is women didn't have to run as fast and they did not have to do as many pushups because the Army recognizes the fact that there are anatomical differences. It's the same thing with height and body or weight. A woman has more as a percentage, carries naturally more body fat than men do. So when we look at the standards for weight and to make a determination if somebody is overweight, they would say that men, you could only have, let's say, 20% body fat at a certain age. And then what women could have up to 35% body fat at a certain age. And the reason why is because of anatomy, physiology.
Physiology is just different. Factually, it's
different. Yeah, it's just and to recognize that is crucial. And so this is what I would be curious to see, and I would have to call a couple of my pals on this to see if are the standards for the physical fitness test different for men and women today in the Army, and if they are, if I'm a transgendering male, do I get to come in at the lower standard if they are lower for, like, let's say I have to do instead of doing 40 push-ups.
Well. I'll tell you this. I don't believe this person who is the current head of medicine and health for the country. I don't think he could pass any test.
He sure doesn't look like he could pass a physical
fitness. No physical. I mean,
he sure could pass a physical fitness.
If he could pass the running test, I would be in shock. I think I might fall down in laughter if he passed maybe a 15-minute run, maybe a 20-minute run.
Yeah, I
probably a half hour.
I think this, what our country has done is just that we've just gone insane. I mean, to not being able to recognize simple, you know, biology. And then when you claim that you do, then you're called a phobe of some sort for not recognizing that. It's just simply wrong. Okay.
Can I boast in me and my brother?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. When we were in the sixth grade, so this is elementary, we had the president's physical fitness.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Okay, he won the boys. I won the girls. His minute, his mile was a minute 15. My 7:15. Mine was 7:30.
Holy cow!
It's sixth grade.
I mean, for a girl.
We were strong girls and boys. Fun. Yeah.
And there's something that we used to measure. This is called your VO2 max, where you would measure your oxygen exchange, you know, because some people just simply are not runners. They do not have the ability to keep a necessary amount of oxygen in their, keep their blood oxygenated. That you have to have a big heart, physically a bigger heart, higher lung capacity. And some people are just, they just have huge lungs and huge hearts, and they're just, and they can run like that. And then you have some people that don't, and no matter how much training that you take them out. I mean, we used to take soldiers out, and as a squad leader, I say, what do you mean you can't, you know, pass a 2-mile run? What's wrong with you? You know, you're not fat. We just can't run. Bull, let's go. And then you take them, and they can't, they just could not, no matter how much you would take them out and run them, you'd run them into the ground. They still couldn't do it. Why? Because they're physically, they just, it didn't have the capability. It wasn't, didn't have anything with desire or heart or, you know, the motivation to do it. It's just they couldn't physically.
Would they get washed out? I mean, if they couldn't complete it, or they'd
send if you could not, if this is one of the things Army did, we would do. If you could not pass a physical fitness test, if you could not pass two consecutive physical fitness tests, which is 6 months apart, you were chaptered out of the military. You were not physically
fit.
The same thing with weight.
My church failed a washout of the Marine Corps because he could not pass the physical part. He had asthma, and he was losing out on part. And yeah, I was surprised he signed up with asthma.
You get kicked out, basically. But, you know, we practiced a lot because I myself could barely run a half a mile. By the end of boot camp, I was running 3 miles. So, you know, we practiced. You know, they got us out there running around the track.
You're absolutely right, Sharon. The majority of the people can do that, but it's conditioning. You have to condition people to do it. Yeah. But there are people out there that are not physically capable of doing that.
They got kicked out of the boot camp. I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, they get kicked out. Yeah, they get kicked out of boot camp, and you know they never make it in the mainstream. They never make it over to their. Yeah, they're advanced individualized training. So,
well, now you got
military recognizes it. Why can't?
No, military doesn't. Where now they got the trans army. They're all inclusive.
Well, see, that's what I'm wondering. That's what I want to find out. If you are a transgendering male, in the military, do you only have to meet the minimum standards? Well, number one, are there differences in the minimum standards for an army physical fitness test today between male and female? And if there is, if you are a transgendering male, do you still have to meet the male, or do you get to come in under the transgendering female? Because if you're having problems meeting the male one, this would be a great way to keep.
So I missed it because I went in the
tunnel. You put yourself in the military. What's that?
I went in the tunnel. You guys are explaining. She had to do 50 push-ups to make the minimum. What was the male version of that? Like 100, double it, or
no? You're not going to make a male do 100 push-ups in two minutes. No, you're not going to train. You can train people. I mean, when you first go in, I might have been able to do 10 push-ups correctly. I mean, you, some people can do them, but they don't do them correctly. There's a certain way that you have to do them. You have to lower your entire upper body and push it up.
So there was no difference in push-ups between male and female?
No, there's no push. No, like women can't go to their knees or any of this stuff that you see on TV or anything like that. You still, they still have to do a push-up where they lower their entire upper body. Well, and then push it up and lock their elbows and then come back down, up, down. You know,
there was some controversy when women tried to join the Navy SEALs. They didn't, they couldn't, they just couldn't do it. Because they, I don't know if they, because I think we do have women Navy SEALs now, don't we? I know we have.
I'm going to tell you, on average, women are not able to do that. However, there are women out there that have the ability to do that and do that. There are women out there that can do that. There was a, when I was stationed in Panama, we had a female that could actually, she didn't beat me, but she could actually keep up with me. She would come in like 20 seconds, 30 seconds behind me on those 2 mile runs. And I was like, and all the other men are behind her. And you're like, what the heck is going on here? How are you able? And she was just a tough old bird. She was a pretty good MP too, by the way.
But I know they wash them all. I don't know if we have any female Navy SEALs. I know we've got female Army Rangers now. And my dad told me that was tough. A few months of just doing, I mean, constant drills, setting up 72 hours constantly.
The good old days.
I don't know how I would feel in boot camp if they put a man in our bathrooms too, because we did not have a lot of time. So there was some times where we had to take showers together, you know. So we got 15 minutes to get 50 women showered. And you put a man in there, I don't know if I could handle that.
And that's the thing. That's what they want you to do. Your comfort. Okay. Your comfort as a woman is subservient to the comfort of a man. Seriously, I mean, think about that.
I see what you're saying.
Because we don't want to make the transgendered women out there feel uncomfortable, do we? No. So therefore, we just have to make all the women uncomfortable. That's the solution. That's the democratic way. Yeah. Anyway. I have to tell you, Eric, I don't know if you listened to it. You guys were talking about it. I couldn't chime in. But yeah, I was playing nice with Kenny. I kind of had to take over his show for a while.
He did. He did actually take over the show.
It was funny. I welcomed him back, though. I let him back in. But,
What did he drop? Did he
literally drop? He dropped for like.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I just kept it going, dude. I was like, hey, whatever, dude. Me and Ethan had a good conversation. That was funny. But I played nice because I'm trying to convert him to Republicanism. And then from there, we can see what we can do.
Good luck with that one. Yeah, I was gonna say this whole transgendering thing, if you look when it started with the military, it actually started with Clinton with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy.
Yep.
Where they changed, and all it started is that when you go to sign up for the military, you fill out a form, and there's all kinds of different questions on this form, and one of the questions read something to the effect, are you a homosexual, or do you plan to engage in homosexual, or maybe they were separate. Women went, are you a homosexual? So what they did was they started crossing out that line. Okay, so you didn't have to answer it. Okay, so if you're a homosexual, then you don't have to answer that question. Woohoo! Before it was a disqualifier, you don't get to go in, but now you can go in. Then it got to the point where when they were letting homosexuals in, they were practicing homosexuality while they're in the military. And as Sharon said, this is something that is very uncomfortable for people. So if you are in a men's bathroom and you're showering and you have somebody that is a known practicing homosexual showering right next to you, that makes you very uncomfortable. So people would report these people to the commander and say, look, this guy's a practicing homosexual. That's against the rules because you can't practice homosexual because it was against the ECMJ to practice homosexuality. So it got to the point where it's okay, don't ask, don't tell. and don't pursue. Don't pursue them when they're practicing their homosexuality. And then it got to the point where if you even made a complaint, you were the one that was called the bad guy. So it's don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue, and don't complain. Just deal with it.
Yep.
And for somebody that's a hard charger, super duper paratrooper, badass, steel eyed, blue eyed killer, that's kind of a bitter pill to swallow. You say, look, this is not the way that I, you know, this is not part of my DNA. This is not part of my being here. If you want him in the military, that's fine. Go have a special bathroom for him. Go have some special barracks for him. But don't have him around me.
Well, no. So that's the thing out west. And this is what people don't understand.
We could send, and there's places we could send those guys, and that would be the end.
What was that, Paul?
There's places we could send them alone, and that would probably be the end of the battle. Oh my gosh.
Send them to ISIS. But no, seriously, bro, so that's how it always begins. You think about it, it's just a little bit here, a little bit there. We give up a little bit, and that's not enough. It's not enough that you don't ask, don't tell. Now it's like you said, don't pursue or don't complain or don't report. And then after that, it's like, okay, no, now you got to celebrate. Oh, no, it's then accept, fully accept, and then celebrate it and say that this is a good thing. And if you think about going to the Bible, okay, what was it? Okay, it was just a bite of the fruit. That's all they had to do. You know what I mean? Don't take a bite of the forbidden fruit. And then, you know, it was the serpent just whispering in your ear, oh, come on. He really didn't say that. No, you can take us. You know, you can take a bite of this fruit. Go ahead. You know, and it's a little bit. And that sin, you know, it consumes you. Okay, and it takes over. And that's the thing. It, you know, I mean, you know, well, there are plenty of plays out there. That, you know, the camel enters through the tenth of nose. You know, things like that. And that's what we've now. That's how what we've now. Where we're at now. Where we have to accept this as normal. Not only is normal, but something to be celebrated, something that is okay, not just okay, but something that is praiseworthy, something that is brave, so brave. You know what I mean? They're so brave, you know, to come out who they want to pretend to be, and you have to accept this. And that's, you know, and that's the shame of the thing, dude. And
that's the key thing. You just said the key thing. You have to.
Right.
Accept it. You have to celebrate it.
And I, for one, am willing to work with anyone against this. It's like I'm willing to work with anyone against abortion. We cannot be limited. Oh, okay. Well, he's a Muslim. So what? We can still work against this and say, no, this is wrong. This, you know, this transgender is wrong. This abortion is wrong. We can still sit there and vote on the same things. Okay. We can still sit there and protest on the same things. We can sit there and still say, hey, this is still, you know, wrong and true. We got disagreements on other stuff, true. And, you know, in other parts, you know what I mean? You know, if you get the caliphate, you're going to chop my head off and I'm going to be against that, obviously. But no, I mean, seriously, we've got to look past. I mean, this, dude, I am sorry. This election coming up in a couple months is too big to squander a single vote. If we can get just one person to vote, a Republican that wouldn't either vote normally or would vote Democrat. I'm sorry, it's going to make a difference, and we have to focus on that. Okay, 100%. Because I mean, look what they did. They just did with Trump. I'm sorry, love Trump, hate Trump, whatever. Disagree with Trump, think he's a crook, think he's all kinds of horrible things. But what they just did was completely and totally wrong. It crossed.
If they can do that, if they can do that to the president of the United States, think of what they can do to you. That's how dangerous that is.
No,
that was a demonstration of that. That's exactly what that was.
Actually, I would say it's sort of the opposite. They've already been doing that to us. Now they are so confident they can actually do it to the president of the United States.
But I also think that if I was Trump, I mean, Trump has always been a step ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. So I also have had some questions about, has he set them up for this?
See, no, actually.
The article that this is all based on, mm-hmm. There's an article from February. I have this on my I have this. I posted in my Facebook. For those of you connected to my Facebook, you can find it. But there's an article that is out in was out in February that said Trump had taken some documents and the archive had insisted that they get returned. Well, that happens with almost every president. You can find that documented. It is actually documented. Obama did that. I mean, these are actual documented things that actually happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So, again, to send the FBI for this is something unbelievable. But, again, if like Trump, like I said, he in every situation during his presidency, he was a step ahead and he set them up to do these stupid things. Well, now it comes down to if this is a setup, Trump has stated he has not touched these documents since they've been in that place, he didn't touch them when they were removed. He didn't select them again, which makes total sense to me because there's too much. And these are supposed to be personal documents. Well, if that's the case, you know, can he be blamed for what's there? There's a lot of questions there. I'm not going to say that he hasn't, but what I think is actually possible that he has done is put in evidence there of Hillary's seditious conspiracy, evidence of Pencil Neck's seditious conspiracy, evidence of Pelosi's seditious conspiracy, and you could probably include Biden, but I don't know that he's actually capable of that anymore. I don't think he could legally be charged.
Okay, so what's the motivation? What is the exact charge? I mean, if you were going to sign a search warrant,
that's what I'm getting at.
Probable cause of committing a crime.
They're saying he had illegal documents on his person as a. They're saying he had secret documents that had to be placed in the archive.
Okay, all right. Hold on just a second now. Do they know for sure that these documents are not exempted by privilege? This is why it's such a bunch of BS. I mean, let's just call it for what it is. This is the biggest bunch of crap.
Let
anybody can take there. Go ahead, Red. I just.
Okay. Well, let me chime in this because I have a little more color, a little more information, and this because I was listening to a bunch of stuff at work today from Michael Knowles and
Job like that where I can sit there and listen to. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I was doing a different job. I couldn't today.
Well, anyway, yeah. Well, I was put on network configuration, so that's pretty easy. But anyway, that's beside the point. Anyway. So Michael Knowles had on this, and I haven't researched this yet. I haven't verified, but Michael Knowles had on that there is an account on, it was either Twitter or Instagram, that a few days ago before this happened, it had a meme, and I guess this account is linked to Trump somehow, or it's one of his supporters, or one of the persons in the know. He had a meme of Trump at one of his rallies, mega rally. He was wearing the presidential hat, but it had the date on it, 8/8. Okay. All right. Which is the same day that they just did the raid. Right. Okay. So it had 8/8 on there. And I forgot what the caption was, but it basically was saying, you know, things are going to change or something like that. Okay. So this could mean that actually Trump or this person, they knew, okay, that this raid was coming down. Now, as far as what the alleged thing is, we don't know for sure yet because they haven't released a warrant. And a bunch of the lefties are saying, well, Trump has a copy of the warrant. He can release it. That's not necessarily true because they can do it's a secret warrant. You cannot comment on this legally. Otherwise, then we will charge you.
Yeah,
okay,
I've been talking with leaders in my local Patriots group about this. I said, I think this gives Trump cause to expose everything.
Right. Now I do want to comment on that because I think what you're saying, Paul, is true in a way, but I honestly think it's something more sinister than that. I actually think Trump had in his possession everything that you just said, and they want that back. Okay. They want, and then Biden declares it classified because, no, seriously, think about this. This is what is so foul about this. Okay, everything in the president's possession any documents are classified until the President of the United States of America says it's not classified.
That's exactly it, correct.
He's the only one that can do that, okay? So, yes, it is a normal thing. Now, Trump doesn't pack up these documents. No president does. They're the president. You know what I mean? Somebody else is doing the packing. You know what I mean? He's not touching a box. He's like, yeah, I'm out here. I'm going to take my toothbrush and that's it. You know what I mean? Okay, we're getting out of here. Okay? No, so whatever was in the possession, whatever they're looking for is bad against them, and they want to seal that up. They don't want that to get out. Now, here's the thing. They're in negotiation. Okay, no, because that's the way it works. You get all the documents out that you can, and then you negotiate with the lawyers, with the different departments, and the National Archive. The National Archive does not declare what is classified or not, okay?
Exactly.
The only thing the National Archive is the repository. So you're negotiating with the current president and the various departments. Okay, what can we put in the National Archive? What's the classification going to be? Okay, that's all you're doing. And that's what they were doing. What was the National Archive, that has nothing to do with classification. The National Archive said, we believe, allegedly, okay, that the president is holding back, and he's holding back classified documents.
But he's the president. This is based on, believe it or not, this is the killer. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is based on a claim. This is where it gets really silly.
Uh-huh.
A claim that a plumber.
Yes!
A plumber found shredded documents in the plumbing. It's a
That's okay. what this Dr. Is Kufar a, sent no me in Skype. That's what that means.
And no, right. no plumber, no, this is a unreported source, an imaginary source.
Wait, and, did you see the pictures? Did you see the pictures of the toilets? The news person who's been pushing this, okay? They're showing pictures of a toilet. One of them looks like it has some paper in it. The other one is empty. But these toilets, I'm sorry, when I imagine the toilet in the Oval Office in the president's personal residence, I do not imagine a toilet that looks like it's from my one-bedroom apartment, okay? You know what I mean? That's seriously what it looks like. It's really small, really tiny. It's like, dude, there's no amenities. There's no presidential seal. You know what I mean? Okay, come on. They put that presidential seal on everything. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's funny. It's funny because, this is where I think Trump has grounds and may have set them up. Now, again, if his hands are not on any of those boxes, which I believe happened, now they have this information because they put the. Remember, he was in Florida. Florida's where they went. The warrant was served in Florida.
Right, yeah, but he was someplace.
They go to a Florida U.S. district judge to fight the warrant. They don't go to D.C. It was served in Florida. So this is where things start to blow up, and I think this will reveal a lot about what's in those boxes. And I think this is the beginning of something much bigger than we expect.
This is where I'm going to try and disagree with, because guess what? You're never going to see the light of day of whatever was in those boxes. They're going to declare it as classified.
Well, so, again, yeah. I still think this was set up. Now, I don't know what's in those boxes. I have no clue. But what they're claiming, what they took, I'm guessing if he's never touched those documents, and if they have what I'm thinking, and if he has what I'm thinking, he has copies hidden away.
Well, even with that, Paul, though, you still have executive privilege.
Yes.
What they have no business putting any hands on any documents that he had as president.
The big question is how can they go after President Trump for alleged no knowledge of anything when we have evidence of Miss Bleachbit stealing?
Well, this is what we were discussing at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Forget all of that. I mean, because we can sit there and say, we can go to Hillary and her bleaching of the computers. We can go to Hunter and his laptop. We can go to Obama and Holder with the Fast and Furious and the running guns into New Mexico and whatever.
Yes,
we could do all that, but that just sounds like we're just bickering. This is so much bigger than
this.
That.
This is evidence of one-sided judgment.
This is a precedent that the FBI, Department of Justice, could not only raid a former president, but also a potential and realistic candidate or potential threat to the current regime. This is the Banana Republic shit, okay? This is straight out of the Banana Republic handbook. And that's how clear this is. And I am telling you this right now, and this is the thing that pisses me off. Republicans are weak on this. Yeah, they're saying, we're going to have hearings, and we're going to have committees, and we're going to have oversight. No. Unless we start playing by the Democrat playbook, by their rules, okay? They're just going to do it again and again and again and again. We need to make the Democrats holler like Sherman did on his march towards the sea. And that is the only thing. Once they holler and cry foul, then we say, and we're going to do it again. And we're going to do it again until you say enough of this. And we're not going
to
do it again.
There has to be prosecution. In the long run, there has to be. There absolutely must be prosecution of Pencil Neck. There must be prosecution at the very least of the Russia conspirators, seditious conspirators.
You're demanding. Okay, see, this is where it leads to, though. You're demanding that pound of flesh. What they did?
No, I'm not demanding a pound of flesh. We have evidence. We have evidence that this was a hoax. We know who is behind it. By law, this is where I'm getting at. By law, the FBI should be charging those people that we have evidence who were the conspirators. That's the law. And that includes Hillary, that includes Pencil Neck, and that includes another.
I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. But by doing that, what you're doing is you're setting a precedent to say, okay, well, they did this to Trump.
It's the law.
Hold on a second. When they did this to Trump, now it gives us that green light to go in and go after Hillary, which gives us the green light to go after Hunter, which gives us the green light to go after Holder. But then who's the next president? So let's say, whoever.
I'm looking at it as this is what they've set. I look at this as a setup to allow a number of things to happen and to reveal stuff. I mean, I think if that's what it is, again, I see this as a possible setup to cause this.
That's what I think it is because when you start down this road, there's no turning back.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at,
and that's why it's dangerous. It's the same thing with John and I were talking about this before the show. We were saying, hey, look, how do you get a society so uncomfortable? I mean, if you make them so uncomfortable, so angry, where they're going to want to rise up and start shooting back, and they're saying, well, wait a second, you can't have those guns. And we told everybody all along that this is what was going to happen. Well, you people that are unpatriotic and exercising your patriotic duty, you're so mad that we're doing this to what you're the guy that we stole the presidency from. How dare you? So they're going to take everybody's guns away.
Then they justify it,
and the next thing you know, they're just kaput.
I don't see this as a gun issue at all. What I do see is I wouldn't be surprised if millions of patriots showed up and instead of surrounding the White House, surrounded the DOJ and the FBI HQ and doing something like a sit-in. And Antifa can't sit. All right? So you sit on the street. You sit on the sidewalks and you sit there. And we're talking millions of patriots. And the only ones who are being violent, everybody turns, all the patriots turn and say Antifa. I mean, it's that simple.
Okay, so a couple of things. Let me just comment on that. Well, first of all, Paul, who are you calling Pencil Neck? I'm just curious.
Mr. Shit.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Adam Shit. Okay, yes, I'm pronouncing his name right. It's Adam Shit. Don't make fun of my Chicagoanese. Anyway, okay, that's who I figured this. Chinless dude. Anyway, no. Okay. The only thing is, like I said, Michael Knowles had a good thing, but there are four theories. I think he went over a couple things. Number two, the second one was that they are trying to disqualify Trump from running. Okay.
That is their goal. Yes.
Okay. That is their goal. But number four was because remember, they are funding the Democrats. in certain situations, are actually funding candidates that Trump has endorsed. So therefore, they can say, okay, this is the least likely, this is the most beatable candidate because he's Trump endorsed. So therefore, we can just keep pointing that he's Trump endorsed. Okay? You know what I mean? No, they did. Like our guy that's running for governor here in Illinois, that won the primary, he was Trump endorsed, and he got millions of dollars from the Democratic Party. Even our current fat ass Pritzker, he actually donated to his campaign. It's a hysterical thing. Anyway, that's beside the point. Okay, so you got that happening. So they're actually playing the 3D chess, where they're saying, actually, and Democrats are shocked at this. How can you be spending our donor money to fund a radical Republican conspiracy theorist, election denier, hoaxer, whatever, blah, 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 okay? But the strategists are, okay, we get this guy to win their primary, and then we can easily defeat him in the general election. We'll have to see if that's going to work out. It does look like it's going to work out in Pennsylvania, unfortunately, with Dr. Oz. And we're going to have to see how it's going to have to work out in Georgia. That's the big one. And Arizona
was a big mistake for anybody to stand behind.
It was, yep, it was. But no, we had that one woman. She was solid. She was gold. She should have got it. And then you had the other guy that actually beat her out. He had more. But yeah, no. So the Republicans basically gave up Pennsylvania, yes, which they should. Yeah. Anyway. But anyway, so getting back to this, I think it is both number two and number four. One, okay, they do this, they discredit him, Trump can't win, okay, or Trump can't run, or Trump can't win, it's a victory. Or two, or number four, okay, they actually get it to the point where, you know, he's totally discredited, even if he does run, he's still not going to win. So I think it's both number two and number four, what the Democrats are strategizing about this. Now, again, on these documents, they've got control of these documents. So now guess what? Now they're top secret. Nobody will ever see them for the light of day for the next 100 years. Okay, whatever. Okay. All right. Either way, so we're never going to know what was in these documents. To answer Eric's part, he said, well, I'm sure he made copies. Okay, so what if he made copies? Then he has broken the law. You know what I mean? Then they can
actually. No, it's if they're copies made, and the claim is that their claim, the federal government's claim. Oh, I gotta go. The federal government's claim is that he has top secret documents that do not, by law, cannot be removed. I mean, there's a certain level of clearance he's not allowed to have.
President of the United States of America, right?
Yeah, no. There's a certain level of clearance. That's what it comes down to. If that's the case, here's the other thing that they'd have to prove, which could be humorous. Could they prove that where they're keeping these documents is safer than where Trump had them?
Exactly right.
That could be extremely humorous, because my bet is, from what I understand, they can't prove that. I have to leave because I promised I would be with somebody else at 7. God bless y'all.
All right, Paul. Thanks for coming, brother.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, getting back to this, Eric, and I do want to address this about the dangerous precedent. Dangerous precedent has already been set. Okay? No, I am sorry. We need to start playing by the Democratic playbook. We need to punish these people. Well, no, I mean, full out, balls to the wall. That's it, dude. You are going down. We are going to scorch earth. Scorch earth. We are going to destroy you until the Democrats, the leadership in the Democrats, finally says, uncle, enough. We're sorry we did this, and apologize to the American people. I mean, here's what they did, dude. Let's recap. It started out with Hillary, okay? And the fake, a lot of people forget about this. It started out with the fake Alpha Bank server. They knew this was fake. They completely knew this story was fake. We have it testified under oath in the only trial so far of her campaign manager saying Hillary gave the green light to release this fake story to the media. The same day that this happened, or the day before this happened, her lawyer shows up at the FBI office, where he actually has an office too. Go figure. He actually has a key card to the FBI, the most secure place in the world, supposedly. Okay? He goes in there. He's like, yeah, I'm here. I got some information to give to you. You know that Trump has a secret server that's communicating with the Alpha Bank server in Russia, which I guess is some big bank that was, you know, really crooked, money laundering kind of stuff, whatever. And he testifies, well, he signs an affidavit under oath that, no, he's not representing any political candidate. He's just there as a concerned citizen. And mysteriously, on that same day, he was there at the FBI headquarters for 3 hours. He charges the Hillary campaign for his services for 3 hours. Okay? All right? The FBI agent that reviewed this alleged information said this is complete. No, he actually questioned. Under oath, he questioned the person's competency in operating a computer because his research into this was so horrid. Okay? Every single intelligence agency around the world said this was bunk, including MI6, including Mossad. Okay? They all said this is crazy. Even German intelligence, everybody said this is no, this did not happen. Then all of a sudden, they hire this former disgraced MI6 former spy. He had 7 years under his belt. At the time, he still had clearance because he was released on good standing. Although everybody is now saying we all testified that this man is untruthful and a liar. Okay, do not trust him. Okay. Well, anyway, he makes up the Steele dossier. Two people have testified under oath that they made it up in a bar in Ukraine. On a bar napkin. I am not making this up. On a bar napkin. The most salacious stuff. Which was easily verifiable. For instance, you know, the media would come out and they would say, well, a lot of this has been collaborated. What's been collaborated? There's a person named Donald Trump and a person named Putin. And there's actually a city called Leningrad in Russia. So that's verified, right? Oh, and there's also a hotel, whatever the hotel name was, in Leningrad. But you know what's not verified? Okay, what doesn't exist is that there is a presidential suite. There is a room that this happened. There are no prostitutes. They actually said we spent $30-something million or $70 million. I forgot how much. We actually sent Department of Justice officials to go to brothels and contact escort services in Leningrad to find these prostitutes. Okay, that supposedly peed on the picture of Barack Obama, right? I couldn't find nothing, okay? All right? Because nothing existed. This whole thing was made up. Okay. Every intelligence agency, including the FBI, including the CIA, including Mossad, including MI6, have all come out and said this was bunk from the beginning. This was nonsense, okay? And any news organization, all they had to do was go through it and just verify. But instead, no, they just said, parts of it have been verified. Yeah, there's a Leningrad, there's a Russia, there's a guy named Donald Trump, and there's a guy named Putin. So we verified some of it, right? Makes sense. Okay, anyway, they took this Steele dossier, and they gave it, even though in the Oval Office, there's a meeting, they have this documented in text messages between the FBI agent that was actually on, okay, the special investigator. He later got fired because he was having an affair with this other chick. That's another story. Anyway, they have this. Okay, so they file it. Here's how this works, Tara, and everybody else listening to me. I'm sorry to rant, but here's how this works. So the FBI gets this document, even though the FBI's own internal board said this is bunk. But now it is given to the FBI. So now the FBI has to notify, guess who? Barack Obama at the time. And then later, Donald Trump. Yes, we do have this document. It was submitted, so we have to investigate it. And that's all they have to say. All right? Okay, so now there's an open investigation. There's no investigation. It's just bullshit. They just sit on this document. Okay? They don't do nothing with it. So they let the press stew on it. Oh, FBI confirms that there is an open investigation on the Steele dossier. FBI confirms that they notified Barack Obama and President Trump that they are actively investigating this. There's no investigation. Okay? Then what they did was, okay, they had this guy. Oh, they went after everybody else, everybody around him. And what they did was they used the Steele dossier. They went to the FISA court, okay, the super secret court, and they testified under oath that they found this document to be true and the person who compiled this, this Daniel Steele guy, whatever his name is, to be truthful and honest, even though they had own internal documents from every intelligence agency around the world that said, no, this man's a liar, including MI6. This man is a liar, okay, and he is not to be trusted. They actually took a CIA memo in one of the guys, what's his name, Carter Page, okay, who was a CIA asset, okay, at the time against Russia. They actually contacted the CIA. The CIA said, yeah, no, he's one of our assets. Leave him alone, okay? He's doing his job, right? This guy took the CIA document, okay, this official document, and changed it to say, no, he is not a CIA asset, and submitted that to the FISA court as truthful, as honest. And they kept repeating the lie to keep getting these warrants 7 times on several different instances. None of them have been punished. As a matter of fact, the one guy that they did punish, the one that actually perjured himself, guess what? He got reinstated. He got $7 million under Garland. Garland said, yeah, there's no reason to believe that he should have been fired. So, yeah, he gets a severance package, and he gets, you know, loss of income for this. I'm serious. This is the level of this corruption. And I'm sorry. If these people are not punished, then there is no justice. So that's why I'm saying we got to come back. The Republicans better come back hard, and no committees, no hearings, no oversight.
Okay, so you say that we're not going to have any committees, we're not going to have any hearings.
No. What I'm saying is this. They can have, no, so what they're going to do, and I hope they don't do it, but no, what the standard thing is, we're just going to have hearings and committees, and we're just going to embarrass you, and that's it. There's going to be no charges. No, I am saying there needs to be charges. I am saying people need to be prosecuted. And not prosecuted, by the way, the only person to be prosecuted so far who got the not guilty charge, do you know about this? No. The jury, admittedly, this is not, he should have, what's his name? Darren. No, it's not Darren. I forget his name. The guy that's running the investigation. This guy should have pulled the case right away. Because, first of all, it was a Obama-appointed judge, okay? But the jury, they had 3 people on the jury that were not just active supporters of Hillary Clinton, but major donors of Hillary Clinton. Not only that, but one of them actually worked on Hillary Clinton's campaign, okay? Not only that, but one of the jurors, actually, their daughter, okay, all right? Played some team sports with the accused, okay? And then you had another juror who believed that all cops were fascists and pigs, and then another cop that another juror who was a Bernie Sanders supporter. Okay, the outcome. I mean, seriously, nobody believed at this point that this man was going to be found guilty, and of course, he was acquitted. Okay. So I'm sorry that the game is rigged, and until Republicans realize this, they're never going to get a fair shake. The game is rigged, and unless they start rigging the game themselves in their favor, I am sorry, there is no justice. And we will get, oh, God, we're going 4 more years of Biden if he decides to run again.
Do you think he's capable of running again? There's no way this guy's going to run again. I mean, it'll be somebody else. But
he wasn't capable of running the first time.
I agree, okay? But there's when you have as many people in his party that don't want, that have come out publicly and said, hey, in polls that they don't want him to run again. There's no way they could do it in any good conscience. They have to find a way to get, you know, to show him the door. They just can't do it.
What's they going to get?
Okay. Well, that was a longer rant than I anticipated, but a lot of it is true, just giving us a history of all that. And I was going to say,
all of it is true. What do you say? Are you saying I'm a liar? Are you saying I'm a liar? All of it was true. 100%. Factual.
No, I didn't say it. What is it? I didn't say that.
Kenny was right about you. Kenny was right. No, I'm joking with you.
I was just kind of looking at, musing at what Obama did. When he was president, and thinking about, you know, if you think about, let's say, Fast and Furious, authorizing guns to go across our border into Mexico, into the hands of the cartel, and Eric Holder, you know, AKA, if you look at what they did to Stephen Bannon, or not Stephen Bannon, Steve Bannon, or other members of the Trump administration, for just saying, I could care if you can charge me contempt or not, I'm not testifying. Holder did the same exact thing, and he was the sitting attorney general, for crying out loud.
No,
you know, that's just sick. Second thing he did was he took Bo Birdall, that traitorous piece of crap, and traded him for five top Al-Qaeda prisoners out of Gitmo.
Who later walked back on the battlefield.
Right. Who the heck does, what type of idiot, what type of scumbag does that to our country? Slap, I mean, that's just a slap in the face. They knew what this guy had done. They didn't need to be told what he had done. They knew what this guy had done. They knew that he was a traitor. They knew that he walked off his post. They knew that he went to join the army or the other side. And yet they still did this. And then lastly, right as they're going out of town, what did they fly into Iran? They flew pallets full of money.
Yeah.
Cash that they knew that by flying in this cash, not U.S. denominated, they skirted the law. This is how they skirted the law, because the law said that you could not give U.S. dollars to Iran. So what did they do? They converted it into Deutschmarks, but euros or whatever, and then they flew that in.
Yep.
So, you know, to think that there's any type of sense of justice or there will be any type of justice coming from these past people, this is the point I'm trying to make, Brad, is you're not going to have it. When we have this, you have the abject evidence against these guys, you're just not going to get it. The desire's there. I get it. The motivation's there. But what I think this is going to do is this is going to motivate the base. This is going to motivate people to say, all right, Donald, you need to get in, and you need to get in now. And if they're going to go after you, you can say, well, it's just, well, we already know it's political, but you can illuminate the politicization of this entire thing. I would think that would be the smart move on his part now, and just saying, okay, you want to do this to me? All right, fine. I'm going to run for president, and I'm going to show you exactly what a bunch of dirtbags you are for trying to do this.
Yeah, well, here's the messed up part on this card. I actually hope he doesn't run. I think the Senate should be the best choice.
Well, you're letting them beat you into a hole. Then, if that's what you want, you like what Trump did. You like what he did.
I think the Sanders could do it better, and I think the Sanders could actually do it wiser, because Trump was actually the worst ever.
You think DeSantis has a better business head than Trump?
I think he has a better just political sense than Trump. In other words, no, what needs to be done and what Trump didn't do, because he did have a policy, what Trump should have done is fire the entire executive branch. Anybody that was nominated or appointed by Obama, they should have been terminated or both sent to go guard a broom closet. Okay, whatever. And then, well, he did appoint a lot of judges, okay, especially the Supreme Court justices, okay, et cetera, et cetera. But no, that total executive branch, the total top heads of the FBI, he kept Comey. He shouldn't have kept Comey. I seriously believe Comey did that October surprise at Hillary Clinton because the Democratic Party realized that, oh, crap, Trump is going to win. And if Trump wins, that means Comey's gone, right? That means Comey, the guy at the FBI, cannot get rid of the incriminating evidence or control the incriminating evidence. And with Comey, we got someone we can work with, and then we'll work against Trump. So I don't. I mean, there were several mistakes on a political level that he made that turned to his downfall. DeSantis is a lot smarter than that because he's political savvy. Okay. What I'm saying is this: well, if Trump gets elected again, then Trump pulled in the old guard. Trump pulled in what's his name from the guy that worked against him, the hawk that got us. In Iraq, what's his name? Starts with B. But no, Trump just took the neocons, and the neocons worked against him. No, they should have gutted that whole entire thing and said, "Hey, I'm getting fresh people in here, fresh ideas." Now the problem was, and this is the thing what the Democrats did with the FBI with the weaponization, because they tried it with General Flynn and a couple other people. They went after everybody that he was going to pull in. That was fresh. And these people didn't realize how wicked and evil they were. Okay? And they used the FBI and they turned against them. And they attacked anyone that wasn't establishment. Okay? All right? And they attacked anyone. They were like, yeah, sorry. I'm just a regular business guy. I'm just a regular this, that, or the other thing. I can't get involved with this crap. It's too toxic. where I think DeSantis would have more play on that. And he would definitely be able to get rid of. I mean, he's demonstrating that right now. He fired that district attorney, okay, who was not prosecuting laws. I mean, he's demonstrating that, yes, he can clean the swamp, and that's what needs to be done. In other words, I'm saying Trump showed us the way. Trump exposed it, but we need someone that's like an Elliot Ness, someone that's a little
No. Leave DeSantis in Florida. Mm-hmm. Give him 2028 will be Trump. Trump do what he was supposed to do, and then let DeSantis come in for another 8 years. Okay,
but I don't think Trump can do it. That's the thing.
Why not?
Well,
I think he learned his lesson.
Well, hopefully he did, but can he get the support to do it? Remember, not only do you got to fire the people or send them to the broom closet, but you also got to be able to bring the new people in.
Okay, think about. Okay, let's just take a step back here for just a second. Here's the guy that had no political experience whatsoever going into the highest office of the land, and if you look at the list of the accomplishments this guy was able to get done. And done with a bunch of rhinos, done with a bunch of people that were entrenched bureaucrats, done with a bunch of opposition, you know, getting the wall built for once, moving the embassy to Jerusalem. I mean, all of these great things that he did in his first term with extreme opposition. If he goes into 2024 and we have at least one or both of the houses, all of these things that we're talking about, investigating that can happen, and I agree 100%. Because look who he appointed to be his attorney general right from the get-go, Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions was in the Senate since James Buchanan was president, for crying out loud. This guy was there forever, and this is the mistake that he will not make again, because now he knows the lay of the land. He knows how easy it is to get stabbed in the back, and exactly what type of motivations these people have. I think he would be a much better candidate, and this is just me speaking. You can have a different opinion, that's fine. I'll just mute you. But this is him. He's going to have more experience going into this than DeSantis ever could. So I think he would be, and then like Ed said, or not Ed, John said, go ahead and then bring DeSantis in 2028, because DeSantis is that guy is absolutely, I agree, he's absolutely amazing, and I think he needs to be president. But I think that before he gets there, let's do 12 years. Let's do four more of Trump, four and eight of DeSantis.
Or the only way that I could see it where I would be okay with it, is DeSantis runs as vice president.
Oh, no, definitely.
Guys.
And he gets four years of experience. So when he runs and gets his 8 years, then...
Yeah, I think that should be the ticket. I agree. I think that should be the ticket.
Tighten up the ship. Okay. I'm sorry. Trump was his own worst enemy. And no, don't get me wrong. That was Trump.
That's the beauty of it, though. That's what I miss that candor. I miss that pointedness. I miss putting them panty wearing sissies. No offense, in their place. I miss that, and that's exactly what they needed. And it was a breath of fresh air to see it and to see him do it again. When he was on the other night, he was speaking someplace. You know, it's just.
CPAC.
That's right. CPAC. Thanks. Yeah. The directness that he had, and then using analogies to demonstrate his point. That's the Trump. That's what he does. Does he talk? Does he get off script sometimes? Yeah. And that's what you want people to do. That's what you want it from the heart. You want that honesty.
When he gets off script, like I said, I've been to three of his MAGA rallies. One of them, I was actually had really good seats, you know, behind, but then they moved us. No, when he goes off script, no. Seriously, if you go to one Trump rally, you've seen them all, okay, until he goes off script. Because then when he goes off script, it's all, I mean, it could be anything. And when he goes off script, when he went off script in Kenosha, Wisconsin, when I saw him that one time, when I was, you know, when I had the really good seats, which, of course, all my footage because my Facebook page was deleted. Anyway, you've seen some of them, I'm sure. But no, it was really great, really great. But no, my concern, like I said, my concern is this. Will he be able to do what someone else who is a little bit smarter, a little bit more savvy, should be able to do? That's point number one. Point number two, are we just going to get a repeat of this? I don't know. Point number four, I gave you, whatever. But point number four, and this is the most important part, if he does run, which he will run, and he gets nominated, honestly, remember, we've been here before, people. He won that election. Will they cheat and just do it again? And remember, there are still a lot of Republicans who don't want this man to be president because they know they're going to be gone as well. You know what I mean? Okay? That's the thing. I mean, you got to look at it from a realistic perspective. I'm sorry. He won that freaking election. Okay? There is no way 85 million Americans voted for brain-dead idiot who didn't campaign, who didn't go out. Nobody goes and celebrates him. Nobody goes and shows up when he speaks, even today, even without COVID. There's no massive crowds that show up. You know what I mean? Okay? You go to Trump, even during the height of COVID, wherever, there were hundreds of thousands of people that would show up at these rallies. Okay? Or even on the side of the street, most of the stuff that I do, hundreds of people just on street corners all over here in Crooked, Illinois, dude. Okay? We're everywhere. You don't see that for Biden. Come on. You're telling me.
If you look at the numbers, who was mentioning the Supreme Court case that was coming up in October about where they're going to be looking at whether or not it was illegal for state Supreme Courts or governors, state governors, to issue executive orders to change election law in order to accommodate this?
It's COVID. Coming up. Yeah, it's coming up. And again, there were two states that definitely should not have been certified because they broke constitutional law.
Okay, that's the whole thing. It wasn't just two states. There was a lot more than two states that went out there and had governors issuing executive orders to send out mail-in ballots.
Secretary of States and Supreme Court justices doing it. No, the whole thing was a farce. There's a whole article in Time magazine. The title of this article in Time magazine is basically that's what it says, how we stole the election to save democracy or some crap like that. Go look it up. We told you how they did it.
Well, this is
guys.
Go ahead, Ed. How you doing?
All right. Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good. It's good to see you.
How do you know when a nation's under judgment? How do you know that? How do you know when?
When he hands us over to corrupt leaders or corrupt judges.
Exactly. Option. Exactly. Yeah. So we end up with Biden. So, okay, regardless of whether he won the election or not, right, it's God's will that guy is in the White House right now. Why? Because he's there. He's there, right? Okay, so what do we do? What do we do to stop it?
Well, we vote against these
Second
idiot
Chronicles 7:14.
With all this crap that they're doing, dude, we pray and we repent and do it.
Yeah, we turn back to the Lord as a nation. Until we do that, it's not nothing is ever going to get better. It's not going to get any better.
That's why another thing most important is your local school board elections. Pay attention to who they are putting on the school board this November, or if they're having special elections.
Exactly.
You got to pay attention to that. You got to pay attention to your local city councilors, your local everything. You got to pay attention to this stuff, okay?
Do you guys realize how many Muslims have been running for office in our country? Do you guys know how many and are in office? Do you know?
Well, it depends. It depends what they're running on. If they're running on the Democrat platform, I would have to say no. They're just as vile and evil. But if they're running on a Republican platform, like I was telling, dude, you guys can hate me about being nice to Kenny on the transgender stuff. That's fine. I am saying this. We need to work with everyone, Muslim, Jews, atheists, whatever, on this topic, on the topic of atheism. If they are willing to vote against this crap, if they are willing to stand against that crap, okay, we can work with them on this. Okay. But if they're running under Ilhan Omar's ticket of let's turn America into Somalia, because I love Somalia. Let's make it look like just like home. You know what I mean? No, of course not. That crap's got to go. Okay.
All that crap's got to go. All of it. Not just some of it. All of it's
okay,
got to go.
Okay. So you got a choice. Ed, you got a choice. So you can vote for a Democrat who's going to be transing your kids, abortion for everybody, or a Muslim Republican who's going to say, no, I'm against the transing the kids. I'm against abortion for everybody.
Or there is a third choice. I can run myself.
Okay, you can run yourself, but are you capable of winning that election? That's the thing.
Well,
are you?
All right.
No. Hold on.
I won't know until I run, right?
I agree with you, but let's say you do a third party candidacy, and let's say you can get conservatives to vote for you. Okay, well, all you're going to do is you're going to take away conservative votes from that Muslim who was against.
No. That's just giving in, man. No.
No, that's not just giving in. That's political facts. These are political realities. There are so many votes to go around.
And
no,
that's
you gotta,
why it's set up the way it is.
No. You got 100. Let's do basic math. You got 100 votes. Okay. You need 51 votes to win the election. Okay. You got a candidate. Okay. Yeah, he's a Muslim. Okay. He's against all the trans crap. He's against all the abortion crap. He's against all the crap. He is for school choice. He is because he's a Muslim. He wants to put his kids in a Muslim school. Whatever. He's for all this stuff that conservatives are for. Okay? He can possibly win, but here comes the third candidate. Again, there are only 100 votes. Okay? The Democrat is guaranteed 40 votes. Okay? So now you've just taken, let's say you can get 11 votes. Okay? You've just taken 11 conservative votes away from the one who can win. This is basic politics.
I have one name for you guys. Hold on. I got a name for you. I got a name for you.
What?
I got a name for you.
What?
Ross Perot.
Exactly. That's my point. I was part of that party. I joined that party. That was the first time I voted. I love Ross Perot.
You voted for Ross Perot?
Hell yeah. I love that crazy old man and his voodoo stick. And he was right.
Okay. I'm going to mute Rad until he comes back with true repentance.
Yeah. I mean,
We got Clinton elected again. Still,
I believe what I'm trying to say is until we get back to where we are supposed to be as a nation, I don't care what you complain about here, what you say is right or what's wrong. It's not going to matter until we get right as a nation with God again. Period. That's what's got to happen.
And that's very.
And
that's why Eric does
these shows is to educate people.
Yeah,
to get us looking to God, looking to truth.
First Chronicles 7:14, Connie, is that what you said it's from?
Yes, sir. Second Chronicles 7:14.
Second Chronicles. Okay. I always get that mixed up. I don't know why. Okay, guys, I'm gonna.
And you're forcing me into politics, by the way. Thanks a lot, guys.
Dude, no.
I'm going to call it a night, guys. I tell you, Keith Urban was just a little too much. I am just worn out.
Oh, come on. You're a super trooper badass, whatever.
Hey, maybe we should all run.
They were asking how many push-ups you could do, you know, and I was telling them that, you know, say, oh, I can't, there's nobody can do 100 push-ups. Oh, no, you can. You can do these push-ups. It's just, it's in technique. Because
We should vote for Sam Shimon for president. How about that? Sam Shimon for president. What do you guys think about that?
Sam Shimon, is he a U.S. citizen?
Yes, he is. He'd be an awesome president.
I don't know. He's got a temper that's kind of like Trump, so that might be a good thing. You need somebody
He'd be the man.
Natural born citizen? See, I can't be president. But, hey, I could do some damage in Congress.
I don't know about Sam. I love Sam too, but I don't know if
Barack Obama pulled it off, didn't he?
Hey, Obama.
I'm not trying to compare. I'm not trying to compare, but hey, Sam's a U.S. citizen.
Okay, so you're comparing Sam to Barack Obama? Is that what you're saying?
But you have to be a land born citizen to be president.
Okay, all right, guys. Thank you for coming.
Peace.
But that's I think,
what's her name? Kamala. She's not a
Obama was born in Kenya. Remember?
That's what his book, that's what his autobiography said. I agree. That's what it says. Autobiography said the first Kenyan born to the Harvard Review or whatever.
And his, and his valid birth certificate is Kenya. Yeah. What he showed us was a photoshopped copy, and it, that was proven because some of the names on the Photoshop thing was wrong at the
Didn't
time.
Did Trump get into some type of hot water for saying that? At one time,
where he's still in hot water, but you know, he's been in our government. Government is proving to us that they hate us, guys.
It's that, time after to today, I agree 100% that there's part of the government that has that. Now, don't get me wrong; I believe the majority of the FBI agents out there are good, decent, hardworking, honest people.
Forget it. They're not doing anything. They're not standing up. They're not talking.
If you consider this, you can't use the same thing. I can tell you what the ranks. I can tell you what the
Obama's brother was on TV too. He said he was born in Kenya.
I can tell you that coming up through the ranks in the military, there are certain things that you tolerate and certain things that you support, certain things that you can say, certain things that you cannot say. And a lot of these lower ranking FBI agents are on the ground doing the grunt work are, I believe, truly decent people. They're being ruled by a bunch of tyrants. They're being told what to do by a bunch of corrupt people that have so entrenched themselves into this DC swamp that, you know, because if you're a soldier and you're told, hey, look, you see that plane over there? Go get on it. You're on the first thing smoking going into, you know, a hot zone or something. You do it. You don't question that. That's why we have a chain of command. You just can't question it and say, well, all of them are corrupt. Now there are a lot of them that are corrupt. I would agree with that. In any organization you get in, you're going to have a certain amount of corruption at any level, but the majority of them are, I believe, decent, hardworking people that are interested in protecting the American citizen. But the perception is getting there, and it's getting after what happened last night. It's getting to a level that we have not seen that we could say it's dangerous.
Yep. Remember what it says on your currency, guys. In God we trust. You got to keep trusting in God. You got to put Him first. Make Him first.
Amen. Let's go ahead and end with that. I appreciate everybody coming. I was looking at the YouTube, and God Logic is live right now. So if you guys want to jump over and check him out, we're supposed to be on our program next Tuesday, and hopefully he'll make it. Who knows? But God bless you. Thanks for coming, and we'll see you on Sunday. And don't forget Sunday. Rad's, where did Rad go?
They probably dropped out. You got him mad.
Yeah, I'll give him a call. All right. God bless you all. Thanks for coming.
Bye. Both for Roxborough.
Careful now.
Is he still alive?